Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. Let's listen to a little bit of Ponchielli. Ponchielli. One of my favorite pieces of music, incidentally. Thought I'd share it with you today. Ponchielli. Hey, Milcari Ponchielli, we're not going to talk about sauce or gravy. We're going to talk about the greatness of the European male. The great things that the European civilizations have given the world. The great European civilizations that have given the world so much, roundly lambasted by the communists in the universities for the last 60 years. To lead you to believe that all cultures are equal, all people are equal, that the dwarf is equal to the giant, the superstar is equal to the, let us say, incompetent, the mental midget is equal to the mental giant. This is Obama's America. Welcome to the USS of R, now called the USS of A, where they can take a U.S. Marine who publishes anti-government diatribes on his own Facebook page and is arrested and thrown into a mental hospital by Barack Hussein Obama. Released yesterday as a result of the work of the conservative civil rights group, the Rutherford Institute. This is what it's come down to, and most of you are so dumb, you have no idea that we're sinking into the USSR. You ask any Russian who lived in the Soviet Union, and you will find that President Obama is exactly what occurred in the ex-Soviet Union in the early days of Stalinism. This is what they had. You have no idea what you're living through, that you're losing your very freedoms themselves. But I don't want to agitate you, alarm you, or scare you in any way, because God only knows you don't want to hear it. It's summertime and the living is easy. So let's have some Ponchielli music. Let's let people dance like the puppets that they are on the edge of the string. See, here's how the Soviet Union worked. People lived behind an iron curtain, and everything that they knew came to them from the government. All information that they received was from the government. And so the Soviets had no idea what kind of life people were leading outside of the Soviet Union. They didn't even know that there were tomatoes in stores. They were living with very little, but they were told they were living with a lot. All the platitudes of the then Soviet government told them that everything they had was wonderful as a result of socialism. And the Soviet citizens, not knowing what was going on outside of them, because of the liberal, progressive, communist regime that was running the Soviet Union, had no idea what reality actually was. In fact, in the 1930s, when communists were starving to death as a result of the Russian people being decimated by regulations that were placed upon farmers, New York Times correspondent William Walter Duranty reported the following. Here's what he said in the New York Times. Any report of a famine in Russia is today an exaggeration or malignant propaganda. For his lies, Duranty won a Pulitzer Prize. Did you hear this? Through the late 1950s, your liberal newspapers in America ignored and buried stories about work prison camps in the Soviet Union. But more than 20 million people accused of opposing centralized government were worked to death or executed in the Soviet Union. Now, we are seeing the beginning of this. We're seeing the infancy of it in the United States of America. If the U.S. government can snatch a Marine off the streets simply for having posted anti-government feelings on his own Facebook page than we are living in the ex-Soviet Union. And think, Rick, because after all, a nice man like Romney isn't saying it. And after all, he's a conservative, isn't he? No, he's not a conservative, isn't he? He's a member of the establishment. He's a member of the ruling class. He always has been. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. And, of course, his style of ruling, I will take over the communist style of ruling any day of the week. But the fact of the matter is, he by no means is a conservative telling us what we are facing under this tyrannical regime called the Obama administration. Now, I could ask you to call me, and I could ask to talk about it, but I think it's quite futile. And so what I'd like to do is just chat today, this Friday, and tell you about this and tell you about that. Maybe I'll read from Trickle Down Tyranny. Maybe I'll read from my forthcoming book, Train Tracks. Maybe I'll read from the opening chapter of the great, great novel, the second novel that I'm publishing next spring called A Time for War, which opens with the crash of a helicopter in Afghanistan where 21 of America's finest die in a flaming wreck. Sort of based upon reality. It's sort of art imitating life. But of course, since we have no government investigation of who put all of those Navy SEALs on that helicopter, we must turn to fiction for some answers, don't we? Today I went to an Indian buffet. You know, I eat in buffets because I don't like talking to waiters. I don't like asking for anything. I like to go in and eat and be left alone in the back of the restaurant. I do this quite often. And I saw America in a microcosm in this buffet. Here you have immigrants from India working virtually 20 hours a day trying to run a little restaurant inside a hotel or a motel, which they don't even own. They rent the space from other folks from India who own the hotel. And I suppose they eke out a living. And they have a buffet, all you can eat for $8.95. And they were making a decent living. And lo and behold, then another immigrant group discovered that you can eat all that you want for $8.95. And the Mexican gardeners have arrived. Their trucks are parked outside. And now the Indians are about to go out of business because the Mexican gardeners figure if it says all you can eat for $8.95 and they're poor and they're hungry and they're big strapping men, it says all you can eat for $8.95, they eat all they can for $8.95. They eat and they eat and they eat and they eat and they're driving the other immigrant group bankrupt. So what's the point of the story? The point of the story is that that Indian restaurant is like America itself. We are like a giant buffet that says to the immigrants from these third world countries, come here and eat as much as you want for virtually no payment, and we won't stop you. And anyone who tells you to stop eating is a racist or a thisist or a thatist. And so we don't care if you eat us out of house and home because we don't want to be seen as mean people. We're nice Americans. So we have a trillion, $2 trillion, $3 trillion debt. Immigrants are eating us alive through education, medication, not putting anything into the system. Every extra dollar they get, they send to their home country. Eat at the buffet called America. Just keep piling the bones up on the plate. And if anyone dares say a word, why call the politically correct police and have them arrested for insulting the poor immigrant? You see, sometimes art imitates life, and sometimes life imitates art. And on that note, we'll go back to a great American, a great Italian composer, A. Milcare Ponchielli. Let's listen to the finale of his Dance of the Hours. Let's hear it again. Begin today's program on the Savage Nation before the boring convention on Monday, which I care nothing about. Incidentally, as I said to you yesterday, with the discovery of electricity, there should have been no longer any political conventions. I mean, what is the necessity of a convention? Originally, conventions were held so the colonists could go by horseback and elect their candidate for various and sundry positions, such as the president. But there's no reason for that. And with the invention, as I say, of the telephone, then of course, hey. Way after the telephone, we even had a teletype. Then after the teletype, somebody invented the Internet, What is the point of these conventions? Think of the millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars wasted on nothing but a charade. It's a charade because we know it's Obama versus Romney. Let's get on with the election. It should have occurred a year ago. And so I begin now with Trickle-Down Tyranny. The number one New York Times bestselling author, Michael Savage, wrote it. And I'm going to read to you from my book because I still think it's the most important book to be read before the election. I'd advise you to either give your copy or buy another copy for your undecided idiotic relatives. Here it goes. Advice to the next president, a savage worldview. Economies can be rebuilt. Armies can be repopulated. But once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. The loss of a nation's honor is something not even centuries can repair. The next president must love America. The next president must embody unequivocally everything that is good about this country going back to its founding. The next president must be the exact opposite of Barack Obama. He must be a man of high character and strong commitment to American values because he will be facing problems and issues that no U.S. leader has had to face since the years leading up to World War II. In the late 1930s, only a few years before the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, our economy was still trying to recover from the Great Depression. In the face of the policies of a big government president, our military had been depleted, and our enemies were gathering strength and threatening war on many fronts. While this was going on, our president and European leaders were hiding their heads in the sand, downplaying the threat from those enemies in much the same way Barack Obama is doing today. The Obama administration is concealing the seriousness of many problems that affect every one of us in our everyday lives. Let me explain what I mean by giving you information you won't hear from any other source. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, so you don't want to talk about anything as esoteric as the USS of A. We won't do that. We'll talk about the Empire State shooting and how the police in New York City are apparently now the new breed are like the Three Stooges. The guy shoots a coworker who fired him, goes down in the street, cops see him, and the cops shoot him and shoot seven other people in the street with wild gunfire. I guess that's the new breed of police in New York City. While the mayor is looking at Slurpees and Mother's Milk, he's not looking at who they're hiring in New York City to replace the last generation of NYPD. Anyways, a man dead. Steve Ercolino is dead. He was shot because he fired this guy, Johnson. Can't find a picture of Johnson anywhere, incidentally. Apparently, Johnson was then killed by the police, and then the police, the Three Stooges, or how many of the Stooges there were, opened fire on Johnson and then, you know, just sprayed the street with a few bullets. After all, what can you say? It's a crazy story. I mean, what can they ban now? Bloomberg needs to tighten those gun laws. Oh, wait, he's already done that. Maybe he needs to tighten those, well, something. Maybe if there was less, well, I don't know, firing of incompetent workers? No, he can't do that. I got it. Maybe if Bloomberg made murder illegal, then homicides would stop. I heard that Bloomberg's first reaction was, yes, there was gunfire, but did anyone notice that no one had a 32-ounce Slurpee? And so you can't blame a sugar high for this. I heard the next remark from Bloomberg on his radio show was, yes, people were shot in the streets today, but you can no longer blame it upon canned mother's milk. That's the world we're living in. Is anyone alive out there? Where is everybody? They're at Jones Beach waiting for the storm in Florida at the convention? I was invited to Tampa. Why would I go there? If I won't go to Europe on a yacht because I don't want to travel, if I don't want to go to Europe on someone's yacht and sit for 10 days and enjoy myself to go to Sicily and wherever they're going to go, why would I go to Tampa? What, am I going to see the sponge divers or the other divers that are coming in from Ohio to the Republicans? It's a family show, so we have to say the other divers. Trying to wake you up out there. I guess burlesque pays on the Savage Nation. Is anyone listening to the show today? I guess I depressed them too much by telling you what's really going on. Okay, let's get really excited. Maybe we could play Mitt Romney and then whoever it is who's running with him, whose name I forgot. Oh, yeah, Ryan or something. Margaret O'Brien. Mitt Romney and Margaret O'Brien are running for office. Oh, my God. Where's the passion? Why am I just so not excited about Mitt Romney? How is it possible? I gave you a great analogy of the buffet. Not a call. Nothing. Nothing. They're eating. One immigrant group is eating another immigrant group out of house and home. But you don't understand the analogy? It doesn't work because, what, it's not on television? All right. I said to the Indian guys who run it, they're Sikhs, incidentally, I said, why don't you raise your prices? No, we can't do that. Not in this economy. I said, why don't you put a limit, 3 visits to the chicken dip. Say it and put it in Spanish, tres. Maximo tres. He's, no, we can't do that. I said, but they're eating you alive. They're going to put you out of business. The guys, they got no shame. The guy had eaten at least $25 worth of lamb and chicken. And I was trying not to look. I kept saying, hey, Savage, it's not your business. Hey, Savage, it's not your restaurant. Hey, Savage, what do you care about the Sikhs for? Hey, Savage, it's not. And every time I went there, there was another, get up again, another plate full of chicken and lamb. Because they figure if it says all you can eat, then it's all you can eat for $8.95. It's like America itself. All the free education? Hey, send 7 children to school. All the free hospital visits? Hey, let's everybody go in for a checkup. $12,000 for the sniffles for Junior. Hey, all the medication, education you can handle. Same thing, don't you see? All right, no one cares. Where's this thing going today? Where am I going to take you? I don't know. I'm still warming up. I am still warming up on the Savage Nation. There's nothing you could say about the horrible deaths in New York City. Nothing. Fired worker kills ex-colleague at Empire State. Many ex-colleague. Who came up with a headline like that? Fired worker killed his boss. What ex-colleague? What are these idiots coming out of journalism school? Everyone's a colleague now. Oh, let me tell you about colleagues. Let me tell you about what's going on in San Francisco with the EEOC. And with workers' comp and what people have to put up with here in this country and what they have to put up with in the state of California, the late, great state of California, which has been destroyed and decimated by illegal aliens who have run over the state and destroyed the schools and hospitals and the social fabric itself. Let me tell you what's going on.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So the anti-Obama movie is now number one in the theaters. Maybe I should do a movie based upon trickle-down tyranny after the election's over, while we can still make movies in America before the South American dictatorship takes full force here in America. You know, because after that, I mean, God forbid he wins again, only Sean Penn will be allowed to appear in state-approved movies. Well, not just Sean Penn. I would say about 99% of the stable run by Katzenberg, and Spielberg will be permitted to appear in movies. But I doubt that any anti-president movie would be allowed to be made. So what do you want to talk about? I mean, come on. Lighten up here. Let it go. It's Friday. Relax. Enjoy. You know, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. I like Punchelli. I heard it in the car last night on the way home. Hey, don't get me wrong. I mean, I may sound down, but I'm not really down. I'm up. That's the funny part, is that many of you think that I'm down because I sound down, but I'm actually up. This is what I sound like when I'm happy. You ought to hear me when I'm really down. That's when you like my show the best, because I sound happy. You see, when I'm down, I sound up in order to boost myself up. But when I'm actually up, I sound down because, well, whatever, it's the way it works. And the reason I'm actually happy is because I'm taking a new nutritional supplement. I'm not even going to tell you the name of it. I really ought to manufacture this stuff. It has so increased the circulation to the tips of my fingers that my fingertips were red. I noticed it after the meal. And I didn't know whether it was the dye on the chicken, which I didn't think it was. I wouldn't eat dyed chicken. I mean, tandoori chicken is red, but is that red dye? What do they roll it in, nail polish? Or I'm asking myself, well, was it the pyridoxine that I'm taking that has opened up the circulation? I have such good circulation to begin with. Every one of my arterioles right now is standing up and doing the pachanga. Every arteriole down to the last tip of my toes and fingers, it's doing a pachanga, every little arteriole. Do you know that? It's fantastic. So in other words, I got blood flowing where blood hasn't been seen in about three decades. My body doesn't even know what blood is in certain parts of its body. Oh, everyone's asleep. They're getting ready for the storm. Three things. The worst Olympics in American world history. Most boring. I know it was the most watched, but I have a suspicion that although it was the most watched, it was the most boring. It has become like, oh, yeah, when is the next one? How exciting. Okay, let's move on. I don't understand what people... Is it me or is it you? Or is it just me and no one else? The Olympics gone. Distraction. Next, the storm about to hit Florida or somewhere in Florida. Next, the Labor Day weekend. People are buying the hot dogs and the scongeli already for the vacation and the round Italian sausage, whatever. Their mind is no longer on anything. They're like numbed out. I don't know what it is. It's like everyone has an ice pack on their brain. So who are they hiring in the NYPD now that they can't shoot a guy down with a few well-placed shots instead of spraying him and hitting seven civilians? Who? Who are they hiring now? I don't understand this. Who in the world would spray a street with gunfire? Who are the police? Aikenhands, Missouri to Dems. Oh, God. Aikenhands, Missouri to Dems. Do you know that you can leave your children up to $10 million tax-free still in this year? Do you know why? You don't know why. Do you know that a top-ranking Democrat changed the law so that the top-ranking Democrat could pass the money on to her children without them being taxed? You didn't know? You see, you don't know these things. Oh, I know. You think Democrats are for the poor. Now, although this Democrat is one of the richest Democrats in the world, and all the Democrats' wealth has gone up about 100-fold since the Democrat became very powerful. And although the Democrat constantly talks about helping the poor and the downtrodden, the fact of the matter is the Democrat personally changed the laws to make certain that $10 million at least could be given to the children tax-free, which is a good thing. I personally think there should be no inheritance tax at all. Why? Why should there be no inheritance tax? Because the money's already been taxed. It's after-tax money. Why should you take more money from me? If I work all my life and I save money that's after-tax money, and when I want to leave it to my children, you should take another 50% of it? Why? To support who? For what? You see how it works? Whatever. I thought the Indian restaurant description made sense, that the world in a microcosm. The world through a plate of lamb bones. But no, went right over your head because you didn't read it on whatever. Romney to hometown crowd, no one has asked to see my birth certificate. Oh, about time. He appealed to the birth certificate crowd. What's he going to do next? He's actually going to talk about the illegal aliens? I kind of doubt it. Now he's appealing to the lunatic fringe. See, even if he doesn't have a birth certificate, which I doubt he does, I suspect he was foreign born. Incidentally, the reason I suspect it is he won't release his college transcripts. And the reason he won't release his college transcripts is because the big O may, I say may, and he has to clear this up, may, it's a big M-A-Y, may have been admitted to college as a foreign exchange student. That means play it. This was as good as the Italian composer Ponchielli was able to do in his time. He had not yet evolved like our rap musicians of today, because he was stuck with the Italian language based upon the Latin, and because he was steeped in the culture of the church and of Italy itself, he was limited in his capacities. And this was the best he could do. This was before people started putting various and sundry minerals in their teeth, jewels in their nose and ears and eyes, and before they ceased to learn the English language entirely in order to produce, well, what some would consider much better music. You have to understand that rap music is far, far better than Ponchielli. But Ponchielli was doing the best the European male could do at that time. He had not yet evolved up to the level that is expected of an artist in Hollywood today. I love it. I mean, maybe it's me. It could just be me that I'm kind of stuck in the past. And music like this still, I swoon when I listen to it. My mind goes to another place. It's because I haven't evolved to the level of the American culture. I have not yet come up to appreciate those who speak 50 words of English and are worth $50 million. Colorado, Brian, all aboard. You're on the Savage Nation, Brian.
Hi, I just wanted to say that the imagery of your Indian restaurant story was perfect. The imagery was unbelievable. Yep. I've never heard it done.
No, you see, I learn from, I'm a man who learns from reality and from the street. I'm very lucky in that I grew up in a working class, an immigrant home. I had to work. So I learned what was what when I was young. I was raised in a city where everyone had to know what was going on. They got run over, thrown onto the third rail. You know what I mean? But I've never lost it. And this is the problem with elitists like Mayor Bloomberg, who is probably a very decent man, a very well-meaning man. But I don't think he truly understands what people go through down on the elbow-thrashing level of the IRT and the IND. I don't think he understands why poor people buy 32-ounce sodas and why they might buy a can of mother's milk. I don't think he can ever understand that, which is why the rules and regulations that these so-called elitists come up with make no sense to the average person. Thank you. You know, you want to learn what reality is, go into an all-you-can-eat buffet, and you'll see the behavior of different people. And again, you know, I don't blame the Mexican gardeners for eating $30 worth of food when they pay $8.95. If it says all you can eat, and the man is from a poor country and he's working for minimum wage and he's hungry and he's strong, well, he'll eat all he can until someone says, Senor, you know, that's enough already. But nobody will say that because they won't say it. And so the Indian who provides the buffet will go out of business. I will lose a very fine, really excellent place of business because somebody took advantage of the system. This is identical to America itself. We are a giant buffet. The immigrants come here and they're told it's all you can eat for nothing down. Go to the hospital, senor. Oh, your child has a runny nose? Go to the hospital. The idiot can't say no. Go in there and demand a translator. They'll get you a translator. So if it costs the moron $9,000 to diagnose a runny nose, hey, it's all you can eat buffet called America. Now, let's say you want to send your child to school and so that mean teacher doesn't speak Spanish. And let's say your son can't keep up because he doesn't speak English. Hey, we'll provide you with a lawyer because it's all you can eat for free. And then you sue the teacher and the school for not giving your child the tutoring or English as a second language. Hey, it's all the chicken you can eat. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, how do I get my worldview out of reality? Am I right or wrong? Of course I'm right. That's why California is bankrupt. It's why America's bankrupt. Because we have people who don't eat in buffets, all-you-can-eat buffets. They eat somewhere removed from reality, and then they try to impose their surreality upon real reality, and the results don't mesh. The results don't mesh, Hesh. The results don't mesh, Hesh. Miami, Florida. David, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thanks for taking the call, Dr. Savage. I was just saying that back in England, sir, Winston Churchill kept England from going down. A lot of people listen to him. And you're about the same parallel like Winston Churchill. America's going through a lot of problems right now, political. And history has a way of repeating itself, and we'll rush back into it. And thanks to God, thanks to you, sir, that a lot of people listen to you. And I think that... you're about the same as Winston Churchill did back in the 30s and 40s.
David, that's a great compliment. He is one of the greatest men of modern history, which is why Obama removed his bust from the White House the minute he took office. You know that. See, Obama was recognizing the fact that he could never, ever even live up to Winston Churchill's lowest standards, let alone his mediocre or higher standards. And so in order to get this great man's image out of the White House, he had the bust removed in order to make certain that his mediocrity would prevail and he could think of himself as a great man himself. But I'm not Winston Churchill in so many regards. Number one, I have a poodle, strangely enough, called Teddy. That is a small 10-pound poodle. I didn't know this till after I got Teddy. I didn't do it to imitate him. I thought that Churchill had a bulldog, but no, he had a 10-pound poodle called Rufus. And he loved his poodle very much as I love my poodle. But the fact of the matter is, other than that, I don't think I have much in common with Winston Churchill. I, for example, Churchill, although he was a member of the minority party in England, and he was speaking vociferously about the coming war with Germany, Germany was building up the military, and the British liberals were saying, oh, you right-wing reactionary fool, we live in Marin County, England. You're a reactionary right-winger, Mr. Churchill. England has no place for right-wingers. We're a tolerant nation. We wouldn't care if our women wore burkas. We'd get down and braid a Mecca if we had to, Mr. Churchill. Because, well, we're a tolerant, liberal people, Mr. Churchill. Yep. Play it again, Sam. As I say, Ponchielli did the best he could given the limitations of the European male in that century. He had not yet evolved to the level of those with... let us say, jewels in their nose and ears and teeth. He was just trying his best to compose and play music, as primitive as it may sound compared to the modern productions that we might hear from Warner Records or whoever still makes recordings. Those type of folks, as you know, are far, far superior to Bach, Beethoven, Ponchielli, because, well, they're not taught anymore. The dead white male is dead. I think music from Ponchielli, Wagner, Bach, you name it. I think that it should be I think it should be made illegal, and I'll tell you why. Just as Obama removed the bust of Churchill from the White House, I think that we should rid ourselves of all remnants of the dead white male in order to progress, in order to diversify, in order to make folks understand how superior the country is today as a multicultural melting pot. I'll be right back.
Savage.
See, we can't have music like this on the show, I'm sorry, because it upsets. It upsets too many people who, it's a dead European male. And the fact of the matter is, it's time for it to go. All of those CDs should be burned in a giant bonfire in order to make certain that the new diverse America feels comfortable with its music, with its literature, which doesn't exist, with its fake poetry. This is what's important, is that people feel good. You look back on a great composer like Ponchielli, which I've been playing, who I've been playing today, and you realize at age 8 he was already composing. You understand why a man was composing at age 8. It's because there was no Italian Psychiatric Association yet or a National Education Association to tell the parents that he was a disturbed child and put him on medication. And how good really was he? I mean, how many CDs did he really sell in 1850 at age 9? I mean, the real test is whether he wound up on Good Morning Milano, for example. And, of course, because there was no television in those days, there was no gauge of anything that was good or bad. Only television talkers like Katie Couric could determine, or Oprah Winfrey, for example. Before supreme judges of American culture had arisen, like Oprah Winfrey, anyone could have claimed to be a genius composer at 8. And so Ponchielli composed. But there was no one to objectively judge. There was no Italian Education Association. There was no Italian Psychiatric Association. There were no drugs like Ritalin to slow him down. And he didn't get on Italian Idol. I mean, there was no such show in those days, obviously. So how could you truly judge whether he was truly great? And so when you retrospectively review the dead white male composers like Ponchielli, you realize that they're overhyped. I mean, it's the multicultural performers of today. Madonna, for example, or Lady Gaga. Now you're talking great. Now you're talking the epitome of Western civilization. Because there are judges today who can tell us historically that they are great. And there are guys like Harvey Weinstein who might put them in a movie. And who would be a better judge of talent than Harvey Weinstein? Certainly not the Italians of 1860. What did they know? What did they know before Harvey Weinstein appeared on the scene? I mean, like Harvey Weinstein or Spielberg or Katzenberg or Hatzenberg or Ratzenberg or Matzenberg, they're the judges of what's great. They're the ones who pick them and make them into something. They find people like Chris Rock, for example. There's a man who's probably more intelligent than Einstein and Copernicus put together, which is why he was invited to the White House. I mean, would Obama invite Chris Rock to the White House, who tweets dirty words from the White House while he's there, if he wasn't a man sufficient of intelligence and greatness and of character to have been invited into the esteemed halls of the White House? It would take a man like Obama to judge who should be in the White House, which is why he's invited some of these superb characters into the White House, is to show us that the age of who I'm talking about, they don't belong there anymore. No, take the bust of Churchill and melt it down. Melt it down and turn it into bling. Yeah, it wouldn't even be worthy of bling because it doesn't shine. I mean, you can't melt down a bronze bust and get something shiny out of it. I don't know what they must have done with it. I guess buried it somewhere on the White House lawn for Bo to go dig up or something. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, what good is it? You melt down the bust of Churchill, at least you make people feel good so they can think that they've invented the world, saved the world, made the world, invented the cure for polio. You know what I'm saying? That's the important thing, is what they feel, not what they actually do. It's what they feel and how they feel about themselves. Yep, Romney, Obama, Obama, Romney, Romney, Obama, Obama, Romney, Ryan, Biden, Obama, Romney, Romney, Piney. Is it becoming? Don't you think that they want you to have your brain go into a metronomic state of hypnosis? Don't you think that the power structure wants to metronomically render you incapable of even thinking?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Dance of the Hours by Punchelli. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Today we are celebrating the great genius of an Italian composer. And of course, I'm giving you my observations of the world, the wit and wisdom of Michael Savage, if you'd like to put it that way. And I opened the last hour by telling you about a buffet that I went to, an Indian buffet, and how it's going broke because although the buffet owners are Indian and immigrants themselves, there's another generation or another wave of immigrants who don't have the same sensibilities, and they're eating them out of house and home. The plates are piling up with bones, and no one says anything to them. No one will say three visits to the chicken bin or whatever, because the others, the gardeners, I figure if it says all you can eat, it's all I can eat, you know what I mean? And I said, that's like America itself. We're like a giant all-you-can-eat buffet, and there are certain immigrant groups who are feasting at the buffet, not paying their fair share, and they're driving us into the poorhouse. I thought it was a very good analogy, and you have to understand from where I'm coming in order to understand it. I don't blame the gardeners for eating the Indians out of house and home in that buffet. If the Indian won't put up a sign, say, two visits to the chicken bin is the maximum limit, they're going to visit it 10 times, which they did. I had a plate of food. I swear to God, while I was sitting there, I watched that guy, the gardeners, go back four times for four helpings of lamb and chicken. You say, well, it's not your business. What is my business? I'm a social observer, if I'm anything. My job is to be a social observer, and sometimes you can learn things from a buffet that you can't learn from Harvard University, incidentally, nor from eating at Gracie Mansion too many times. Now, as I say sarcastically, semi-sarcastically, the reason Obama threw out the bust of Churchill when he seized the White House was obviously for a number of reasons. You can read almost anything into it that you wish. But I would think that the same, if he should win a second term, God forbid, I think that that would be the time for the Obama administration. I think it would be at that point that they should ban the music of all European male composers from the 19th century and prior to that. And the reason is that it makes some people uncomfortable. After all, it's very complicated, and it's unnecessary. It's unnecessarily complicated. Too many instruments, for example. That's number one. The storyline is not something that a multicultural society can accept readily. This is a product of a racist time in world history, when Italians were Italians, for example. Something as primitive as that. French were French. Lithuanians were Lithuanian. English were from England. That's another time. This is a new time. And in the new age where there's a sort of melange of all cultures and all peoples and everyone's equal, you don't want to upset people with the music of Bach, Beethoven, Wagner, Ponchielli, Puccini. You don't want to upset them. And I think at that point, it would make sense for the new USS of A to eliminate all of the music that had come before this period of time in order to make certain that we all get along and so that we can then put statues of Rodney King in our homes. Because, after all, he was the great man who said, why can't we all get along? And I think that that statement, although it's simplistic in some ways, certainly has more texture to it, more innuendo, more depth than anything ever written by, let's say, an American philosopher. And so therefore, why can't we all get along should become, I think we should all have a mandatory requirement to buy a bust of Rodney King, which we must have in our living rooms. And then, of course, at that point, Obama could arm the Black Panthers and they could go into everyone's home and make sure there's a bust of Rodney King. And if you don't have a bust of Rodney King, you get busted. And then you get put away like the U.S. Marine who just got put into a mental hospital for daring to put on his own Facebook page comments about a big government that he objected to. And I think a sane government should follow the path of the ex-Soviet Union in the 50s. Well, that's why they put the Marine in a mental hospital. He didn't actually commit a crime, but he was mentally disturbed because anyone who doesn't love big government is by definition mentally deranged. Just as in the just as our Russian friends taught us in the 50s, anyone who didn't love socialism must have been mentally ill. And so they put them in psychiatric hospitals where the bugs with MDs shot them up with drugs, put them in straitjackets, anyone who objected. And 20 million people were worked to death or killed in the ex-Soviet Union because they were obviously defective and could not conform to a big government society. And so there's a reason to see why they put this Marine in a mental hospital. And, you know, I mean, that the judge finally released him as a result of the work of the Rutherford Institute is just an example of what the right-wingers, the level to which right-wingers will fall in order to release dangerous, crazed people. I mean, if we didn't have these right-wingers in America going to bat for guys like the U.S. Marine, the country would be a safer place, wouldn't it? We'd have people who love big government and people who receive checks from the government. For example, yesterday, Michael Savage, that's me, of course, had the nerve to say on this show, what's the difference between Romney supporters and Obama supporters? And I, Michael Savage, had the audacity to say that Romney supporters sign the check on the front while Obama supporters sign the check on the back. Now, a thing like that, while it can be seen as clever, that's nothing but a right-wing statement that makes many, many people receive government assistance, which they're entitled to. It's a benefit that they're entitled to. It makes them feel uncomfortable. And makes them feel like second-class citizens. Now, why should those who receive a government check feel like a second-class citizen? They have a right to feel superior to those who actually write them the check. Because when you think about it, there should be no difference in a multicultural society between those who earn and those who don't earn, those who pay taxes and those who use taxes. There should be no difference between any of us in the USS of A. At least that's what I think. But then again, this is not yet January 2013. I'll be right back.
Savage.
is the one and only, the Savage Nation. I don't know how to say it. I mean, I do the best I can. I see the world through my eyes, not through your eyes. I tell you what I actually see. I mean, if I go to lunch in an Indian buffet and I see them being eaten to death by people who are abusing them, what can I do? I say that it's an analogy for America itself. If it says all you can eat for a certain price, then the immigrant's going to eat us alive until we say there's a limit to how much you can get. And that's why we tried to pass in California many years ago a proposition which said no free education, no medication. And it was passed by a large majority in California. And one communist judge, Felton Henderson, with the stroke of a pen, he was a former ACLU judge, said drop dead to the citizens of the state of California. And now the state is completely bankrupt. So let me ask you, who was right? Those of us who said there must be a limit on education and medication for illegal aliens, or Felton Henderson and his ACLU buddies who have now bankrupted the state of California? I mean, it's clear. It's common sense. But you're not hearing any of this. Newspapers are controlled. The media is totally controlled by the administration, by both administrations, incidentally, but primarily by the Democrat administrations, because both administrations have said we must have a hands-off policy toward the illegal alien. You can't even call them illegal nor alien. You must call them those with driver's licenses who are superior to you. So let's go to the callers now on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. There are many other topics to talk about. Here's a life coach question from Las Vegas. John, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. It's an honor to talk to you, sir. I just wanted to call and ask you. My mother, I've been a caregiver for years, and it's been a blended family. I mean, my mother, my wife and three kids. And, you know, it hasn't been easy, but she recently passed away 3 days ago. And I'm dealing with, you know, I'm going to go to therapy and all that because it was at a hospice that the hospital sent us.
Yeah, well, let me say this, John. You'll never get over the death of a parent. That's number one. Especially if you love that parent. You'll never get over it. You're not supposed to get over it. The therapists are wrong if they tell you you're supposed to get over it. What do you mean get over it? Supposed to get over the woman from who you were born? What do you mean get over? Get over what? You're supposed to grieve and feel pain. That's a natural feeling, the death of a mother. What greater feeling? I mean, what greater pain can you have? I mean, God forbid, the worst pain is the death of a child. We understand that. But the death of a mother is something you're going to remember the rest of your life. And so it's not a question of forgetting it. It's a question of coping with it. Isn't that what you're talking about?
Yes, Michael. I'm really questioning my, I have a strong belief, but the only thing that's keeping me going is knowing, you know, I don't want to get all into religious beliefs, but that you'll see them again, you know, when you cross over, so to speak.
Well, I know people who believe that. I don't want to get into what I believe or don't believe, nor whether or not it's rational to believe that, because there's no proof one way or the other. So therefore, it's one's personal faith as to whether heaven exists where one sees one's loved ones. And it's a beautiful thing to believe that you will see them if you wish to. And I would leave it at that. There's no reason a person can't have such a dream or a fantasy, however you want to put it. It's certainly better than walking around in the burnt-out cinder world of San Francisco, which has no belief or faith in anything except one's own pleasure for that particular moment. Take a look at how happy they are. See how it's worked out for them. And so, therefore, all you can do is, you know, build a memorial to your mother. I'm sure that, you know, you put her to rest. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Hello? Have you buried your mother? Have you buried her?
Well, we've gone with the cremated so we can bring her home with us, because I'm not...
Well, that's why people had tombstones and burial plots, because it was a way of remembering them a little better than a jar full of ashes. But again, that's a personal, you know, decision. You know, people visit gravestones and talk to the dead as though they're still there. They go there to be close to the remains so that the spirit is somewhere near it. This has been going on from the beginning of recorded history and even prior to that. An elephant, for God's sakes, will go visit the elephant burial grounds. So don't tell me that it's not part of the living condition, for God's sake. So you have to find your own way to cope with the death of a loved one. I don't have an answer for you. I still, to this day, my mother died, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. To this day, I sometimes reach out for a phone and want to call her in Florida and talk to her, but she's not there. To this day, I want to call my father, who's been dead since 1970, and pick up a phone and say, hey, Dad, how you doing? Not there. So what are you going to do? It's a hole inside you, and you live with the hole inside you. That's all. What can you do? There's no filling it. And there's no filling it. It's just empty. Human beings are very versatile. We can take an awful lot of pain, loss of a hand, loss of a loved one. You can lose a lot of things in life. I guess you have to learn how to live with loss. That's all. We live in a society that tell you, oh, take a medication, have therapy, put balloons on the ground, put a balloon in a doll. I mean, that's the world we're living in, infantile world. Balloons and dolls where someone is executed. That's their idea of a memorial for a human being. Balloons and dolls and candy on the ground. I mean, where does this come from? How does a society become infantilized in my lifetime? I don't know. I'm not into balloons and dolls and candy on the ground. That's all. Just live with it. Maybe write a story about her, you know. Tell stories about your mother, like I do on my radio show. So tell them to strangers in the street so they can have you arrested for talking about your mother. Maybe that would be a threat to society. I don't know. That's good. See, Doug's quick on the draw. So is the storm going to hit Tampa? That's the big story. Is Romney going to take on Obama in a tough way? Yeah, sure. Yeah, Mr. President. Treat him with dignity. Why should you treat Obama with dignity after what he's done to this country? Well, what dignity? What dignity does Obama deserve from someone running against him, trying to save the country from a communist takeover? What do you mean dignity? Well, what is this? What world am I living in? Now you know why O'Romney won't come on the show. Now you understand why O'Romney will not show up on the show. Now you understand why Orion won't come on the show. You understand why they stay away from the core base that can get them elected. Instead, they should pander to the illegal alien. I agree with O'Romney and O'Ryan. I believe they should continue to go on Mexican stations and pander to illegal aliens who don't even have the right to vote and absolutely not talk to the core base of Americans who are very concerned about the future of the country. I think that's the modern way to think through things. That's the way to run a campaign, definitely. Pander to the illegal alien is not even allowed to vote and spit in the face of those who can get you elected. That's the smart course. That is the smart course. Bruce in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Go ahead, Bruce. Hi, Michael.
Yes.
Yes. Your comments about the buffet was extraordinarily brilliant. My grandparents came here, and if they went out to eat or went to friends, they would bring food. They wouldn't take food. And it's just a great analogy you made.
Well, but it's not so much going to a friend's. I'm talking about an immigrant group, the Indians, running an all-you-can-eat buffet for $8.95, and another immigrant group eating there, but eating them out of house and home because they won't limit the amount of times they can eat into the chicken or the lamb, and so the poor people are going broke. And I don't blame the immigrant group that's eating them out of house and home because no one's put limits on them. And the analogy of the buffet is the same of America. We're like a bunch of morons who's opened the buffet for the third world to come here and feast on it and not even pay the bill. There's no words for it anymore. I'm speechless. It's so obvious that even a child could understand that. But don't tell that to the elites who run America because they'll say you're a racist for even bringing up reality. Certainly you don't want to tell that to governor this or to president that. Turn to the Republicans for salvation on that issue. You'll get an awful lot of that. I'll be back in a few minutes while we're playing Ponchielli, while we're still allowed to, prior to January 2013, when I suspect all European male music from that period and before will have to be, purged from society. I think it should be purged because I think it makes many people uncomfortable because their cultures didn't produce it. They shouldn't even hear it.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Welcome back to the third largest radio show in the United States of America, no matter what you may have heard. Welcome back to the to the best-selling author Michael Savage, no matter what you may have heard. Welcome back to the fact that in the last 2 years I've had three best-selling books, no matter what you may have heard. Trickle Up Poverty, bestseller many weeks in the New York Times. Trickle Down Tyranny, bestseller many weeks. My novel, I'm a novelist as well. Abuse of Power, bestseller. New novel coming out in the spring, no matter what you may have heard. I guess you can't keep a good man down. I mean, you can take Winston Churchill's bust and you could melt it down, but it doesn't really take away the fact that Winston Churchill saved Western civilization, at least saved Britain from destruction by the Hun. I mean, he was a man who saw what was going on. You can't take that away from him, even though Obama melted his bust down. Winston Churchill is still remembered as a great man, and long after Obama is gone and forgotten as the worst president in the history of this republic, the world will still remember the greatness of Winston Churchill. Obama will be seen as a blip on the screen of what happens to a country when people go to sleep and when the media is owned by the government. And when you have a government media complex that is no longer functioning as it should function, virtually anyone can become president and do almost anything that they want to the nation. At least that's how I see it. Well, let's not do the music again. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to the callers. Howard in Boston on WRKO. You're on the Savage Nation.
I've spent a great deal of time in Russia, Michael, and it appears between Moscow and St. Petersburg, a number of shuttles between, and it appears we're on the same path. You're right on the money. In Russia, the Duma anoints the oligarchs. It appears in our Congress is anointing the very rich. It makes no difference. And it's unfortunate
That's right. It's exactly the USS of A. I've been trying to warn America, alert America. Obama didn't come out of nowhere. He was handpicked. Obama is actually following the script he was given for converting us into a USS of A. He's doing it. He's gotten away with virtually everything he's done, which is absolutely out of the realm of the Constitution. And he gets away with it because the media is compliant. Don't you agree with me? Or complicit, rather.
Absolutely. It's unfortunate, but when I was in Russia, the very rich are getting richer, again, thanks to the Duma. While here in this country, the very well-to-do insiders are being richer, made greater wealth by the Congress and their lobbyists.
How do you explain that Congress people and senators have had their wealth expand by tenfold in some cases, and there's no investigation of the contracts they've steered to their spouses? How is that possible?
Because the American public just got their heads in the sand and rather spend their time.
No, it's because I blame the journalists. They have gone to sleep. Instead of covering the corruption, you know, every night I go to sleep saying, where is Elliot Ness? I grew up in another time when there was a man who came in, like from the FBI, who actually went after the untouchables. Right now, the untouchables are in the government. They're not in organized crime. The untouchables are the government themselves. Wouldn't you agree with me?
Absolutely. So they're still different here as it is in Russia today. And that's what's scaring the hell out of me.
But I'm saying, where's the Elliot Ness? When are we going to have the gangbuster squad arrive to start looking into various and sundry senators and congressmen who have made 10 to 15 to 20 times more money than the families ever had while they were in office by steering contracts, grants, and loans to their spouses? When is this going to be investigated?
Well, not until the media wakes up and informs the American public. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Here's the problem. The media doesn't care what the American public thinks. They've been running bankrupt entities for 10 years now. Take the San Francisco Chronicle. When I first came here in 74, the Chronicle and Examiner were mediocre but decent papers. They were like a B minus. But they used to do investigative reporting on various scandals in government. They've ceased doing it. They're losing $1 million a week. It doesn't matter to them because it's other people's money and the corporate chiefs who own it don't care. They don't want the investigation because they've been either compromised, bought off, or gotten favors from the very same members of Congress who should be investigated.
Michael, let me put it very simply. The Duma has closed their ears to the public in Russia. Congress has closed its ears to the public in the United States. And unless until we wake up, it's just going to get worse. I'm scared for the future.
Well, I think you say it all. There's another man who knows that Romney and Ryan are basically, you know, only 2 degrees of separation from the other side. 1-800-449-8255. Any call is fair game. What's this on Drudge? $1 billion verdict. Samsung ripped off Apple. I don't know what it means to me. Nothing. I don't own an apple product. I grow apples on my trees in my orchard. I will tell you that. I have too many apples. They're beautiful, pink and green apples. I don't know what to do with them, but I don't know. I don't grow any Samsungs on my trees. I grow apples on my Does that matter to the average person? That means Apple stock's going to tumble, right? That's all that means? Apple was just up. Now it's someone's going to get hammered? That's why it went up yesterday, right? What do you mean Apple wins $1 billion? As jury finds Sam, Apple wins $1 billion as jury finds Samsung violated patents. Oh, it's going to go up. So that means those who were betting on Apple over the last few days knew this was coming down. It means the corrupt judge was bought out and told him in advance what was coming. Da, 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 da. Yeah, so in other words, all those who invested in Apple over the last few days and that you saw it going up, they were already steered by the corrupt Wall Streeters from the corrupt judges in the U.S. of A. It's enough already. I think I'll get a headache from it. No, I love the music. It's fantastic. I love it. 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 I can wait till Monday. Oh, God, I can wait till Monday. Please don't bring me Monday. God, please don't bring me Monday. God, please let the storm hit Tampa. God, please. Think of all the hookers. They're going to have to go home empty-handed, you know. All of the buffet lines. They're going to throw all that food out. All of the buffet lines. The couches they were going to throw out of the windows in Tampa. All of the clean living Republicans who are going to, you know. Oh, God. When are they going to start voting by? When are they going to start voting by the internet already? We all know he's been picked. We know that Obama's picked. Let's have the election already. What is this nonsense? You know, we keep hearing about the poor like anyone cares about them. No one cares about the poor. No one ever has cared about the poor. The only people who talk about it are the demagogues who need their vote. That's all. Who cares about the poor? When has Bloomberg last had the poor to dinner in the Gracie Mansion? Has Bloomberg ever had homeless people brought in from the gutters to have a Jeroboam of Bordeaux? I don't think so. I don't think Bloomberg's had them in for a Slurpee, frankly. I don't think Bloomberg would even give them cans of mother's milk in Gracie Mansion. And yet he talks about them like he personally likes them. New Orleans, Christy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
When I listened to you over the past 2 months, I noticed that you really seem to be on fire. And it's like my mind is running a mental obstacle course, and I was wishing that you would post something about your nutritional regimen online so that the rest of us could benefit.
Oh, you mean where do I get my energy from?
Yeah, over the past 2 months, it's incredible. I mean, it's hard keeping up with you because you jump from one thing to the other, but it all makes sense and blends together, and it's very funny. I've been laughing my head off a lot the last couple of months.
Well, may as well laugh your way to the gallows. That's fun. That's always a good thing to do.
Well, that could happen.
I'm not going to give away my secrets because it's not just based on nutrition. I am taking a new supplement that's got me through the roof. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I may market it. But my fingertips have turned orangey red from the circulation. Every arteriole in my body is now circulating, pumping with blood. I mean, they always had blood in them, obviously, or I would have had gangrene. But we're talking about new volumes of blood running into because of certain vitamins that I've rediscovered. I used to take these 20 years ago, especially when I got into like a down mood. I don't take antidepressants, and I get really angsty and depressed a lot, but I never let it become a medical condition. I don't give into it. Because, you see, I explained this. Who did I explain this to the other day? I showed a psychiatrist. Well, who did I show it to? I don't know who I showed it to. Someone in the mental health professions. A tide chart, given that I'm a boater. And I showed, you see how there are four tides a day, too high, too low? And he looked at me, he said, that's interesting. I said, well, the human being is the same. I said, we're not a flat line. The psychiatric profession wants people to believe they're supposed to be on an even keel all the time. It's not the human condition. The human condition is up and down and up and down, but not in the same exact sine curve every day, depending upon various factors, including the moon, by the way. Yes, you are affected by the moon, whether you know it or not, you are affected by the moon the same way. If the oceans can be affected by the moon, why can you not be affected by the movement of celestial bodies? Explain that to me. Well, you're more powerful than the Atlantic Ocean? You're not, which is why you fluctuate in your emotions. You're supposed to fluctuate in your emotions. That means you're alive. When you're not fluctuating in your emotions, it means that you're kind of dead emotionally and you're feeling nothing, which is where a lot of people go. You understand? That's where a lot of people go. They don't want to feel anything anymore. They can't take the heat, so they get out of the kitchen. I've always thrived on the ups and downs, the highs, the lows. I remember being a kid, I've talked about it, that I would sit in school, and I remember my mother, God bless her, we didn't have a lot of money, but she bought me a blue suit, and so because I had the only suit in the Bronx at that time, I think, other than those who were run over by a bus, they had to buy him a suit. I had the only suit for any living boy in the Bronx in that year. They made me the announcer in the auditorium. I remember being 6 years old or 5 years old in the first grade. Already they made me the announcer. And I remember getting up in front of the audience, and they said, well, you're going to be the announcer. I said, why? They said, because you have a blue suit. No one else has one. So they put me in front of the audience. Now, to this day, I can remember the faces, you know, like staring at me like, oh, my God, now what? And I found that I had the capacity to talk to audiences because they threw me out there. It's like throwing a guy out of an airplane with a parachute. Either he pulls the cord or he dies. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. You ever throw a dog in water when he's a baby? Oh, you can't do it today. But most dogs can swim. It's an instinct. And some people have an instinct for public speaking. Some don't. Some very brave men would rather face down a killer with a gun than get up in front of an audience and talk. Do you know that? I've met shy men who are immensely powerful and brave, incidentally. Doesn't mean I'm more brave than the other guy. I've just had the ability to talk to an audience. So I don't even know what I was getting to. $1 billion. Well, the point is that here it is, a number of decades later, and I'm still talking to an audience. Unfortunately for me, America has changed, and everything I was warned about communism in the 50s has come to pass. Everything I was told would happen when communists took over America has happened. But it didn't start with Obama, mind you. See, this is the funny part. It started with Nixon when he took us off the gold standard. I know you don't want to believe this. I remember writing this when Nixon was president in my journal. Yeah, I'm one of those guys. Actually, keep a journal. Had one. I don't keep them anymore because the radio show has become an open journal for me. But going back, forever, I have boxes of these incredibly well-written journals and beautiful books, handwritten. Maybe I'll auction them off one day. Or I don't know what I'll do with them. Feed them to the seagulls. I don't know, whatever. I remember when Nixon was president that I was apolitical. I wasn't a Democrat or Republican. I was just an American struggling like most Americans. And I said, wait a minute, he's taken us off the gold standard. He's opened up trade with Russia. And I said, wait a minute, I said, with China. I said, everything I was told would happen when communists took over America has happened under Nixon. Now, I know it was considered politically insane at the time because he was a so-called conservative. But little did I know that he was not really a conservative. He was just simply a tool of the giant structure that we are dealing with today, who is going to steer us into something we don't even want to go into. It's happening. It's not going to happen. We're already 60 to 65 to 70% there, whether or not you want it to have happened. It has happened. And you can't say it can't happen here because it already has happened here. And on that note, I'll take a quick da 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 da. We are playing the music of the dead white male. Pacello. Ah, Milcare Pacelli. Love it. Love it. Love it or leave it. We are celebrating the last remains of Western civilization in the waning days of the year 2012, while we still can, before it becomes, well, illegal to do so, because there's no question in January 2013, while it might not become illegal to listen to such music, it could be considered very, very politically, embarrassing to listen to it. You may have to listen to it in a closet somewhere or behind closed doors for fear that the government may find out that you're listening to this type of music. You should be listening to American music, multicultural music, music where there's monosyllabic content, music where there's, very few instruments so that the average person living here today can keep up with it. Simple tunes, popular tunes, tunes that make people happy, things they can sing while they're on crack or things they can remember while they're stoned on medical marijuana. That's the kind of music that you want in after 2013. Music that you cannot vote by. That's the important thing. Certainly not think. I believe that thinking itself should be considered suspect, and I think that anyone who engages in too much thinking in the year 2014 might have to be investigated by the New American Psychiatric Association. It could enter the DMSA, anyone who thinks too much. I think it could be a diagnostic a condition. Certainly there's an argument to be made that anyone who thinks too much is mentally deranged in a society where there is no thinking. Anyone who analyzes when they're not being paid to analyze, I mean, isn't that some kind of tic? Isn't that an OCD or something like that? Thought, overthought correctionism? Or it's something to be thinking about because there is medication to help you. If your mind races, you should understand that although Darwin's mind raced and many other famous people had what was known as swimming mindedness, that's because they lived at a time before the American Psychiatric Association, before we had such superior medications that men like Darwin wouldn't have to think so much and be in such pain. The important thing to remember is that there's help. All you've got to do is reach out for it. Just reach out to the medical establishment. And then you won't suffer the pain that Marine suffered the other day who wrote those horrible things about big government on his Facebook page. Look what happened to him. I mean, he wrote things about big government not being what he wanted. And the next thing he knew, he was being arrested by the FBI and local police, handcuffed and thrown into a mental hospital. Because that's the way it should be in the new Soviet America. At least that's the way it was in the Soviet Union. And while we're not there yet, after 2013, that may become the norm rather than the exception. And, of course, the right-wing group, the Rutherford Group, the Rutherford Institute that intervened and got this Marine out of prison, although they have a right to do so now, they should have no right to do so. We should have no such right-wing civil rights organizations. In fact, by definition, civil rights must be controlled only by the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're the only group that should be trusted in America to define what is civil and what is right. I mean, any other group that defines it is by definition suspect. And therefore, you have to rely upon the government to tell you what is civil and what is right. Certainly, right-wingers have no place in the discussion. Only left-wingers know what's civil and what is right. Yeah, so little B6 goes a long way, and I'll tell you that. A little folic acid goes a longer way, and a lot of B12 goes a longer way. Right into every arteriole in your brain. Yep, there we are. See, so anyone who doesn't see big government the way big government sees it will soon become an enemy of the state. Let's go to the callers. Anna in Connecticut, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, you're in prime form. I want to congratulate you on an exciting, excellent, fantastic show with a brilliant, powerful, and classic analogy and the music. I hope you don't mind. I grew up in Italy, so in Italy we say Amilcare Punchielli because.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm so bad at pronouncing Italian. I can't even say pasta correctly.
But you are fantastic. I love your show.
Say again in Italian, Amilcare
Punchielli.
Punchielli, and I butchered it. I call it Amilcare Punchielli. Isn't that terrible?
No, that's funny.
That's funny.
You're doing very well. I love your show.
Thank you. Classical audience on the Savage Nation. By the way, it comes from the opera La Gioconda. You probably know this piece because it was popularized in Walt Disney's Fantasia back in 1940. And yet, when I hear it, I love it. More music from the Dead White Males right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen up. is some of the sound we have for you on the Savage Nation. Here is Romney talking about his energy plan.
We're going to have states take responsibility for permitting on federal lands. They can do that in 10 to 30 days. The federal government takes almost a year to get permits out. We're going to have the states take the lead even on federal lands. We're going to put together a complete seismic analysis of our energy resources in the country. This statement the president keeps making that we have only 2% of the oil in the world is simply wrong. We also are going to have to open up our offshore, our outer continental shelf drilling. The Carolinas as well as Virginia and the Gulf can provide additional energy. And frankly, the resources that we can get from Canada, from Mexico, gets North America to energy independence within 8 years. That's something people have been talking about for a long time. It's something I'm committed to doing.
And the fiscal cliff, whatever that is.
The president, as the leader of the nation, needs to call together Congress and make sure that we do not have the kind of cliff that's being described. The estimates are that as much as a 2% reduction in GDP might occur if we go through the tax-ageddon, as they call it, that the president has scheduled for the first of the year. We should instead put in place a holding period, if you will, let's say a year or so, or at least 6 months, to allow the next president, whether it's President Obama or me, to put in place a spending plan, a tax plan that makes sense.
But there are many things they won't talk about.
Political specialist Sean Boyd just finished an interview with Romney. What did you ask him?
You know, I had about 5 minutes with him, and we got through a fair amount of material, actually, in that 5 minutes. The one stipulation to the interview was that I not ask him about abortion or Todd Akin.
Romney says no to Bernanke.
Let me ask you about Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke. One of your top economic advisors, Glenn Hubbard, is suggesting to reappoint him. Would you consider that?
Well, I always listen to people who have counsel and advice, but my view has been that I would want to select someone who was a new person to that chairman's position, someone who shared my economic views that I thought was sympathetic to the needs of our nation. I want to make sure that the Federal Reserve focuses on maintaining the monetary stability that leads to a strong dollar. And confidence that America is not going to go down the road that other nations have gone down to their peril.
Here's his joke.
Now, I love being home in this place where Ann and I were raised, where both of us were born. Ann was born at Henry Ford Hospital. I was born at Harper Hospital. No one's ever asked to see my birth certificate. They know that this is the place that we were born and raised.
And here's Paul Ryan on Obama.
First of all, President Obama's failed. His leadership has failed. The economy is failing because of his leadership. And you need to point that out. But in addition to that, we have to show the country that we have a pro-growth plan to get people back to work, to get this economy growing again, that we are offering specific solutions to get people back to work and giving people a clear choice of two futures from which to choose from. We believe we owe the country an alternative to the path the president has put us on. It's a nation in debt, in doubt, in decline. We want to get back to the American idea, that opportunity society with the safety net, the society of growth, of opportunity, of upward mobility. And I want to spell out exactly what that means, what the American idea is, and how we plan to retrieve that and get us back on the right track.
Well, the best news today is on michaelsavage.com. A judge ordered the release from a psychiatric facility, a former Marine, whose crime was posting anti-government messages on Facebook. We are now living in the Soviet Union under the dictator Obama. You heard me. A former Marine simply posted anti-government messages, no threats, on his Facebook page. The good news is the Rutherford Institute went to bat for him and got this guy out of jail. I hope he sues the government and the judges. I think they're immune, actually. It's unbelievable to me. I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. Simply posting anti-government messages. This is what was done in the old Soviet Union. And this is what's being done in the new Soviet America under Barack Insane Obama. Here are the rest of the stories that made it to michaelsavage.com. Is Obama playing for the opposing team? He's following the script that was clearly laid out for him, says someone you know very well. German rabbi faces charges for performing circumcision. What? A Cologne court outlawed the procedure, but didn't outlaw radical Islam. Isn't that something? Fed up immigration agents sue to stop Obama policy. They're tired of being told that they can't do their jobs. New York City's homeless shelters are so luxurious, people don't want to leave them. There's no better place on earth to be homeless than in Bloomberg's backyard. CNN ignores story of Democrat lawmaker who had sex with a boy. What else is new? Fired worker kills boss at Empire State Building. Obama's cooking the books to get record deportation numbers. These stories are all from michaelsavage.com. Democrats are rushing to give illegal aliens licenses so they can vote for them. Flashback, martial law by executive order of Barack Obama in a liberal post. Department of Injustice is recruiting schizophrenics and the intellectually disabled. There's an actual directive looking for such. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Well, there's many other things on the website. I won't bore you with all the details, but I will direct you to the one book you need to stop Obama. If you've bought one copy, I implore you to buy another copy of Trickle Down Tyranny this weekend and give it to a friend who's not sure who they're going to vote for. Because if we don't stop Obama, we're going to have the socialist states of America, the USS of A. This is Michael Savage. I'll be right back. Wait, hang on before I go. You know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot by posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Statue of Liberty is weeping under Obama. She has been defiled. She has been insulted. She has been embarrassed. If the Statue of Liberty were alive, she'd be crying from what has been done to her under this regime. And the only question is if Romney Ryan, if they win, will do anything to clean up the bronze. I don't know. So let's move on to something. Is there anything positive we could talk about? Who was the most corrupt president in American history? I have a little side note for you. It's a little story. Let's take a deep breath. There's a little side note. As you know, I'm Boater, right? B-O-A-T-E-R, Boater. 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 I don't speak English very well. Boater. And I've listed my 21-foot Ranger tug for sale. I know it's sad. I had to get rid of something. And it's, you're not going to meet me because I'm not selling it, but a broker's selling it. It's going to be up on my website. If somebody wants to own a piece of history, it's going to be over in Alameda, California, my 21-foot Ranger tug, 21-foot. It's a great little boat. I've loved it. Many an afternoon after a show, I've tugged out with Teddy on it. I'm almost sad seeing it, you know, up on the website. It's going to be up on the site soon with all the pictures. You'll see where I sat. He held that wheel. He sat there. He pushed that key. No, really. It's sad looking at the thing. Like when you sell something that you've enjoyed so much, new bottom paint, new batteries, new bilge pump, upgraded bronze sea strainer. Whether you're looking to follow America's Cup racing up close and personal on the bay or want to explore lakes, estuaries, the Delta and beyond, Sea Tender is the perfect vessel to enjoy your time on the water. Great boat. Has a Yanmar diesel in it, which, by the way, they're like bulletproof, I must tell you. These three-cylinder Japanese engines are amazing. Anyway, it's up for sale. Out at a brokerage in Alameda near Jack Lennon Square, 21-foot Ranger tug up on my website, or you can go to Yacht World, I guess, and look it up. Sad to see it go. You know, it's funny when you sell something that, it's like when you sell a car that's been part of you, it's like a dog that you're giving, you know, like sending a dog to the pound. Soon I'm going to have to sell Wilhelm, the Mercedes, because she's got 18,000 miles on her. It's time to sell Wilhelm. I name my cars, by the way, and my boats. This one is called Sea Tender. Sad, sad, all the time I spent. What year is it? 2009 already? 3 years I've had this thing. I just couldn't take care of these boats anymore. I can't do it. There's too many things in my life. So if you'd like to see the inside of it, lovely Hero Red Ranger 21 tug inspired by traditional trawler. Easily trailerable. She's also a comfortable little gem to keep dockside for entertaining or simply relaxing on the hook. Anyway, there it is. If you want to take a look at a boat I've owned, it's going to be up there, and you can peruse the pictures of the boat, because it's probably going to sell right away. It's perfect. Better than new, actually. All right, let's move on. I'm not selling my dog. Not for sale. Teddy is not for sale. I will not sell Teddy, no matter what you offer me. Montana Dan, you say it was Nixon? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael. Love your age, brother, and God bless you. I love your passion. I'd like you to ask me anything about God. I can articulate it very well.
No, but wait. Let's not do God talk. Let's do corrupt talk. Who is the most corrupt? Which was the most corrupt administration in history?
Well, Obama.
Okay. But, I thought you were going to say Nixon was.
No. Nixon was my first political memory in recollection. I'm 51 years old, Michael.
Yeah, Nixon sold us out to China with Henry Kissinger, the Quisling. And Kissinger has been making a fortune lobbying for Chinese firms, as you well know, along with Madeleine Halfbright and along with Bob Dole, which is, by the way, across the board. Both parties have sold us down the river, and I mean the Yangtze River. Thanks for the call. That's right. It's still a corrupt dictatorship. China is a corrupt dictatorship. Ask Chinese Americans if they want to move back to China. Ask any of them if they would live there. None of them would. It's a police state, but you as an American wouldn't know that reading the New York Times. I was watching the Mecum auctions, you know, the car auctions, by the way. What? They can't give away old Bentleys. Did you see the prices they're going for? Like a Bentley, they're selling for like $32,000. Nobody wants them. It's like an elephant. Nobody wants those cars. Other cars, I don't understand why people pay so much money. I saw a 53 Cadillac convertible that went for $132,000. They're beautiful cars, but, I mean, you really want a car like that? I think next, by the way, after this, I'm going to sell my 65 Caddy convertible. I'm going to put the money into the Savage Legal Fund. I've got to replenish it. So when you see that up, you want to grab a real piece of history. It's going to be the Cadillac, the red Caddy. I have to get rid of it. I don't have garage space for it. It's perfect. And new battery, but, I'm a boater, cars, this and that, American. I love me boats, and I love me cars. I love me TV, and I love me beer. I love my beer. It's Friday. It's a nice night we're going to have tonight. Tonight, where am I going to go tonight after the show? Let me think. You know where I'm going to be. You know where I wind up. I'm probably either going to go to the place at the foot of Broadway in San Francisco and have a vodka and grapefruit. I haven't had a drink all week. I've been, like, replenishing my spiritual side. Now it's time to feed the devil. All week I've been a good boy. I've been replenishing my spirit. I'm more tired than ever. The more I try to be good, the worse I feel. No, it's true. It's a phenomenon. The healthier I try to live, almost the worse I feel. I need a couple of drinks to let go tonight, I think. So I'll start down there. Then I will meander up to the North Beach restaurant. Well, he won't be in there till 6:37, I guess, but I'll probably go up there. Or I'll go across the street for the Codfish on Columbus, which is now ruined from the wonderful Democrat politicians who are building a subway to nowhere. It's like the Boston Dig, the Big Dig. Nothing compared to this. You never saw anything like it. A subway tunnel to nowhere. The insiders tell me if the Republicans win, no funding for this boondoggle. If the Democrats win, the boondoggle will go on. Oh, yeah, very same people. The very same people who claim to love the Italian neighborhood and love the Italian people and the Italian district are destroying the Italian people, the Italian district, and the Italian neighborhood and the Italian food. 20 years from now, it'll be nothing but high-rise. It'll look like downtown, like Rincon Center, if you let these people get away with this. It's unbelievable. They can't do anything. They're powerless. So I'm enjoying it. It's like the twilight of San Francisco right now. What's being done to North Beach right now is what's being done to the elephants. They're killing it. It's like the twilight of North Beach is what you can do. That's the Italian district. A lot of people come to town. They go to the restaurant. They look. They know, does Mikey here, this and that. I'm never there when they come in. And I'm usually in mufti anyway. I look like an Iranian diplomat. If you were to look for me, you would never recognize. I wear camouflage. That's the nice. It's a nice weekend in the middle of August. You know what I'm saying? Relax, relax. As Aristotle Onassis said, if you're going to be raped, you may as well enjoy it. You know where that statement came from? You remember the great shipping magnate who married Jackie Kennedy? Remember that horrible shock to the world? She was. Remember that? Jackie Kennedy. She's married to JFK, remember? Then he was knocked off, assassinated. It was a terrible day in American history. I remember I was teaching at the time. I was a young teacher. And I was rather naive, and I went into the teacher's lunchroom. They had a restroom. And I was shocked. I was heartbroken when JFK was shot. I remember it to this day. I was a young, just out of college. It was a year after I was a social worker. And all the teachers who I thought were idealists were talking about what it did to the stock market. That was one of the days I awakened to the realities of the world. All I talked about was how it affected their investments. I couldn't believe it. I was a kid with nothing. I didn't have a dime to my name. You know what I'm saying? So then he gets killed, and the next thing we know, she marries this beast from Greece. I remember the shock as I looked in the New York newspapers. I see this elegant, beautiful lady with like some bestial throwback from Greece. Well, that's how he looked to me at the time. He was an older man. You know, men put on weight. Hair grows out of their nose and their ears as you get older. Look, it happens to everybody.
Savage.
Edith Kazan did a great movie, which I recommend for you and your children, called America, America. And it's about a young man in Greece whose their family saves the money after the Turks ravage the community and destroy Greece. And they save up all their money to send them to America. And it's about his trials and tribulations on his path to America. He gets robbed. He gets beaten. He gets deceived till he finally arrives. And the last scene ends with the protagonist arriving in New York, as so many of the listeners' grandparents or great-grandparents did. He got here, he looked at the skyscrapers of New York, and he got down and he cried and he kissed the ground. Kissed the ground of America. Could you imagine what Bloomberg would say about this nativist today for daring to kiss the ground that he came here illegally? Can you imagine what Bloomberg would say? Ah, spit on those nativists. Go, come over on a plane and overstay your visa. Go ahead, go ahead. That's what he would say. So to get back to Aristotle Onassis, there's a scene in the movie America, America, where a young Greek guy becomes an attaché or an assistant to one of the invaders, the Ottoman Turks, who has a taste for young boys. And apparently, in order to keep his job and feed his family, he has to submit to this horrible monster in order to survive. You talk about a Hobson's choice. Now, I don't know whether that applied to Aristotle Onassis, but I'm getting the feeling the more I look back upon his statement, Onassis, that is, when he said, if you're going to be raped, you may as well enjoy it, whether or not that applied to him. But I can probably surmise that that's what he was referring to. So if you think you've got it bad now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Not with this regime, if it should win again. I don't know. I feel good this day. I survived another week. Can you imagine it's Friday? I love Fridays. I don't know about you. I still am like a kid. It's like school is out. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you got the long, wonderful weekend to do nothing with and wonder why life passed you by. You see all of those wonderful, superb individuals from Hollywood having such a good time that they've got to tell you about it every 3 seconds. They've got to exhibit themselves. They're having such a wonderful time, and you're not, that every other week they're in rehab. That's the good time they're having. Every other day they're falling down in a gutter and going into rehab. That's the good time they're having. Waving from a yacht in Monaco. They're having such a great time. One low life after another is waving about, showing you how you have nothing and they have everything. What else is in the news? You hear all the news is so bad. Northeast, West, and South. It's a bad business I'm in. You know, it's one thing to look at a tumor if you're an oncologist, but you can't look at a tumor 24 hours a day. You go crazy. You start to think the whole world is a tumor. Saudi Arabia King Abdullah shakes hands with the Jew hater, the Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time. So what is that all about? The Iranians are Shia, aren't they? Yes. And the Saudis are Sunni. Is that correct or incorrect? So why are they shaking hands? What is this about? The only thing I could think about is that's like the Godfather. It's like the mafia. The reason the king is shaking hands with Ahmadinejad is because he's going to lead him to his... You know what I'm saying? It's like the guy who smiles and brings you into the clubhouse. Yeah, we're having a little meeting. Come on in. The guys are waiting for you. Boom. So the Saudi king is shaking hands with his archenemy Ahmadinejad. What, they're going to gang up against Israel? I don't believe that. Gallup says Romney 47, Obama 45. Who knows? It's too close to call. Who knows? Who knows? If they put a little, if they had only put a raisin in the white bread. If they had only put a little bit of whole grain in the white bread. But no, that'd add more white flour to the Wonder Bread. Romney, Ryan, Ryan, Romney, Romney, Ryan, Ryan, Romney, Romney, Ryan, Ryan. No diversity in the ticket. And again, don't get me wrong. Ryan's a, you know, nice guy, good guy, honest as the day is long, not corrupt. But do you think he's going to appeal? Do you think Ryan is going to appeal to the vast independent voter? I don't know. He won't not appeal. Well, who could he have picked? Let's think about that for one second. Let's indulge ourselves. It's over. It's finished. It's gone. He could have picked Rice, and that would have been a bad choice because she stood for nothing. Remember, they ran her up the flagpole and no one saluted, right? That old game. Condoleezza Rice. No one cared. She has no political currency whatsoever. She's just too bland. So who could he have picked? Well, let's start with some of the candidates who he ran against, who had a huge following, like Ron Paul. I mean, that might have excited the base. I mean, that might have added a little whole grain to the ticket. By cracky? No, I'm serious about that. By cracky, that Ron Paul sure had some guts and gumption. No, I'm serious about it. I didn't particularly like some of his positions, but the guy stood for something. So he could have picked Ron Paul. No, nothing. I would say he could have picked Newt Gingrich, but he ran such a negative, vicious campaign that he nullified his own potential as a vice presidential candidate. I couldn't stand him by the end of it. Newt Gingrich should move to Iran and run a think tank for Ahmadinejad. That's how bad he sullied his name. So who else was on the platform? Forget about the guy with the sweater. No one even knows his name. That genius. What was his name? I don't even remember him anymore. Mr. Sweater from Pennsylvania? Sanctimorium, Sanctorum, Sanctorium. No, couldn't have picked him. He could have picked Ron Paul. I'm picking someone that was viable, right? A pizza delivery man would have been a better choice than Ryan. A pizza delivery man who stood up to Obama would have been a better tag team. I'll vote for them. I'm voting for the I'm voting for the Wonder Bread. Believe me. Wonder Bread is better than ersatz bread made out of, sawdust. In other words, if I have to eat white bread, I'll eat white bread as opposed to sawdust bread, which is what we have now with Obama. It's bread made out of sawdust. That's not a bad line. There was a time that people ate sawdust when they were starving. What else is in the news? Pizzeria to no longer deliver in Detroit. Oh, guys, that's where the pizza thing coming. Russian punk rockers found guilty of hooliganism. Good, good, good. Give them more than 2 years in jail. You know, either you live in a nation that respects the church or you don't. Who do you respect more, punk rockers or the church? What is more, tell me, what's better for the survival of a nation, a church or degenerate, drug-taking, sexual degenerate punk rockers? Tell me, who's better for the survival of a nation? Putin's 100% right. Tell me what's more stabilizing in a society, the church or degenerate sex addicts and drug addicts who spit on the church? I mean, put your head in gear, for God's sakes, and stop taking the side of these three degenerates. Throw them away and get rid of the key. What am I getting so excited about? I could care less one way or the other at the end of it. I mean, not that I can care less in that regard. He did the right thing, that's all. I'm on record. He did the right thing. They had no right jumping up onto the main platform of the most sacred church in Moscow and performing an obscene gesture with a crucifix. And as the leader of a country, I respect him for this. At least he stands for something. unlike our nation, where apparently the political class stands for nothing but feathering the nests of themselves and their cronies. That's real hooliganism. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Savage Nation, is a time for everything. Everything's about timing. And here we are. We're talking about the world. We're talking about elephants and donkeys. And it's interesting, not only symbolically in terms of the Republicans and the Democrats, but actual elephants and actual donkeys. Lorenzo's donkey, Jake, dying at age 32, and how it affects people who love animals, and how some human beings think that hunting elephants is still a sport. And how others, like myself, are funding anti-poaching teams to go out and kill poachers, shoot them dead. I wish they would shoot the hunters. But that may be illegal to kill hunters, but I wish that there'd be some way to stop the hunters who think it's sport to kill elephants. I do. I really do. So you'll hear more about elephants as time goes on, because I'm a defender of the poor elephants and the mountain gorillas being hunted to extinction in Africa for their meat. Chopping the hands off these beautiful big creatures, leaving the babies alone in the forests. What kind of humans do we have? Disgrace, wherever you turn, there's nobody representing the Americans who believe in this country's laws. Nobody. You've got billionaire elitists like Murdoch and Bloomberg laughing at you, calling you nativists. Did you hear what Moloch, who is O'Reilly and Hannity's boss, did you hear what Moloch said about it? He said, ignore you. Listen to clip 7. Listen to Moloch.
I mean, that is true where there's been a flood of illegal immigrants in Southern California or in some of the southern states. There is a sort of a nativist group that doesn't want any more or want to send them all back. But really, it would not take much courage for the Republican candidate or his deputy to ignore them and ride right over them.
Run right over them. Right over them. The way you ride right over everyone in England with your illegal wiretapping. Run right over the law, Moloch. Run right over the law. The few little nativists. The few nativists. How many do you think there are, Moloch? Certainly not O'Reilly isn't a nativist. Hannity isn't a nativist. Your other puppets aren't nativists on Fox News, Moloch. But there probably are 50 million such nativists in this country, Moloch, and there are more of us than there are the illegal aliens who are decimating our schools and our hospitals, Moloch. And then you have Bloomberg. Listen to Bloomberg flaunting the law, a man who wants to ban soda and milk in a can for mothers who can't nurse. Listen to what Bloomberg has the nerve to say, advising people how to come into this country illegally. Listen to clip 9.
Nobody's come across the border in a long time. I mean, we spent a fortune on technology. And if you want to come to America illegally, don't waste your time going across the border and through the desert. It's dangerous. Just get in an airplane, fly here, and overstay your visa. We have absolutely no ability to check who you are and get you back. So, and the total number of undocumented in this country has been going down for a long time.
One lie on top of the other. One lie built upon the other. Nobody has come across the border in a long time, lie one. Total number of undocumented aliens has been going down for a long time, lie number two. It seems every time this man opens his mouth, he commits another lie. It's unbelievable to me. So who represents those of us? And by the way, in California, it's an interesting phenomena. Even Democrats are opposed to the flood of illegal aliens who have swarmed across the state, decimated social services, decimated hospitals, decimated the schools, taking us from the first in the nation to almost the last in the world. That's right. California once had the finest universities in the country. Now are amongst the worst in the country and amongst the worst in the Western world. How did that happen? It didn't happen because the children are any stupider. It happened because elitists like Moloch, like Jerry Brown, like Bloomberg, have catered to the illegal alien to the extent that they have collapsed the entire educational infrastructure. They've destroyed it. English as a second language? I'm the son of an immigrant. Nobody taught my father Russian and catered to him. Well, how do you feel today? Can we get you another tutor? Oh, you're having trouble with England. No, no, they didn't do that. You learned English and you kept up and you became an American. Why are you catering to people who don't speak the language? Why do you allow them to bring foreign flags to sporting events? Why are they allowed to wave Mexican flags at a sporting event? I'm appalled by it. Have you seen American flags being waved at Mexican sporting events? They'd be killed. They'd have their heads broken open. But we apparently stand for nothing because the elitists have destroyed the males in this country. They've put you into a hostage situation. DHS was created, as far as I can tell, to imprison and to terrify the nativist population. As far as I can tell, the entire purpose of the sorority house called the Department of Homeland Security is not to deport illegal aliens, but to intimidate those of us who are nativists. Those of us, in other words, who believe that we're a nation of laws and that we should have borders that are respected. The DHS exists strictly to intimidate you and possibly to deport you, the American citizen. That's what the world is. It's Alice in Wonderland under Barack Obama, but it didn't start with him. It started with Clinton. Clinton started it, Bush continued it, and now Obama has almost finished it, destroying our borders completely. And where does Romney stand on borders? Has he said one word about what he would do to stop the assault upon this nation by the millions of illegal aliens who have decimated our hospitals and schools? Has Romney Ryan said one word about it? Where does Ryan stand on it? Huh? The Wonder Bread that was baked by the Republican Party in the form of Mitt Romney, they would not even put a raisin in it. They wouldn't put a fragment of whole wheat in it. They wouldn't put a nut in it. They gave us more white flour that stands for very, very little so far as I can tell. Yes, Ryan's a fiscal conservative. Whatever that means, tell me what that means. Tell me what that really means. Yes, I'm going to vote for Romney Ryan because at least I know where they were born. And I'm pretty sure that they're loyal to the United States of America, which is more than I can say for the existent cabal that runs this country. Okay? Now let's go to the callers, now that we've covered it. Have you ever seen corruption as bad as this under Obama? Ever in American history, in modern American history? Tell me which administration was more corrupt than this one. I challenge anyone to prove that there has been a more corrupt administration in the last 50 years, because I don't know of it. If I did, I wouldn't put out such a challenge. There's never been such a corrupt administration as now. No-bid contracts, false-bid contracts, outright grants, $800 million to this one's brother-in-law, $20 million to that one's brother-in-law, $1 billion solar contract for a company that doesn't exist, one after the other. It's sickening, and we have no oversight. Where's the oversight? You know there'd be oversight if it was a Republican administration. Where's the oversight? The press doesn't exist. Non-existent. They may as well be department store dummies with computers. The so-called reporters for ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News may as well be department store dummies with iPhones, because they're not doing any investigative reporting, are they? Who is covering the corruption? Where are we supposed to keep this government in check if there's no longer any reportage? The Pulitzer Prize has no meaning. Maybe if you had a daring investigative reporter left in the country, and there may be one here or there, they should be given so-called Pulitzer Prize. But who? Where are these men and women who were once these gung-ho journalists? Where do they go? Well, they don't exist. Maybe they exist for a website here and there. They certainly are not allowed into the journalism schools, because those schools are controlled by fabulously, fabulously corrupt left-wing fanatics. And if you show any scintilla of independence, if you show a scintilla of interest in true investigative reporting that is non-biased, you are not admitted to the so-called J schools. They exist for one reason only. They're an arm of the Democrat Party. That's the only reason the journalism schools exist today, as an arm of the Democrat lie. They've conducted a complete and total destruction of independent journalism in this country. I don't know if you're interested in any of this. I really don't. So let's read you some of the headlines. Biden's good friend and donor receives a $20 million federal loan to open a foreign luxury car dealership in the Ukraine. John Hinansky, a longtime friend of VP Joe Biden and a major donor to Biden's campaigns as well as President Obama's, was awarded a $20 million taxpayer loan to build a foreign car dealership in Ukraine. According to a public summary document, the loan from the federal government's Overseas Private Investment Corporation, OPIC, is for up to $20 million and is designed to expand his Ukraine automobile business and construct and operate Winner Autocity, which will have two new state-of-the-art dealership facilities for Porsche and Land Rover Jaguar automobiles in Ukraine. During Obama's 08 run for president, John Hinansky gave, well, to Obama, talk about corruption. Ex-Border Patrol union leader indicted for spending union funds on mistress. So far, more than 130 Border Patrol and Customs agents have been arrested or indicted on corruption charges in the past 8 years. We have no oversight inside the government over the machinations, the corruption. Where do we go as a nation?
Savage.